Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Shalom, shalom, grace and peace in Jesus, everyone. Hallelujah.
Shalom, shalom, family.
Shalom, shalom, Israelite. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. Yes. Grace and peace, everyone. Hallelujah. Welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters radio show. Bible study, I should say, radio Bible study. Tonight, the Sunday night edition, we have Brother Paul Mazaluski of the Fellowship of the Spirit Ministries. Tonight, he is bringing prayer and meditation, part two, prayer and meditation. This is part two. Last week, people, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. And the revelations of the prayer and meditation that this brother, the father, allowed to reveal was just wonderful. And it, you can't do nothing but impute it into your spiritual warfare arsenal and add it to your armor. So with that being said, we're going to turn this over to our brother Paul and brother Jeremy. Shalom, Israelites. Grace and peace in Jesus, everyone.
Grace and peace in Jesus' holy name. Welcome, everyone, to the Sound of Living Waters, the Sunday night edition. I'm Brother Paul with the Fellowship of the Spirit, and reading for me, as always, will be Brother Jeremy, Brother Jeremiah. But before we get too far into today, let's go ahead and open up in prayer. If you sisters would please take your covers off, and or I'm sorry, if you brothers would take your covers off, and all you sisters.
Did we lose them? Or is it me?
Hello.
Shalom.
Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you.
Okay.
All right. You sound really clear now. I don't know what you did, but something happened. Just cleared up everything. It's like you cleared your throat. Everything just cleared up.
Huh. I don't know. Maybe I'll keep the mic unobstructed. I'll try to see if that'll work. But let's go ahead and let's face the temple again, and we'll open up in prayer.
Amen.
Great, merciful God, great God of Israel, we thank you for this opportunity to gather. Father, as always, we just have a couple of requests, Lord. The first is that you keep your loving hedge about all the saints, Lord, that you keep your everlasting hedge about each and every one of us. And Father, as always, the second request is that you give us what you would have us see and hear today, Lord. That you at the very least edify us and open our eyes. Give us the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding that we seek so we can get and stay pleasing in your sight. For these and all your blessings, we thank you in the name of your beloved Son, Jesus. To all who hear my voice and agree, in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Sisters and brothers, this particular portion of prayer and meditation, part two, this one is entitled either the morning watch or quiet time or two-way prayer. And this will be part two of at least three parts. We'll see how far we get today, whether there'll be a third or a fourth. But what we're going to deal with today is a method of prayer and meditation. It's a method. It's not the only way to pray and meditate. It is one of the ways, and it is the way that I am most familiar with. And so you could, in a sense, since I've been doing this prayer and meditation for the better part of almost 20 years, you could say I'm an expert in this field of prayer and meditation. And to my surprise, I was actually on Facebook just bouncing around, or I'm sorry, on YouTube bouncing around yesterday, the day before, and I just said, let me just hit in two-way prayer. And there's a gentleman that understands this method of two-way prayer, and it came up just like that, two-way prayer. And I sat and I got edified for about an hour and a half watching him. But anyway, let's get into two-way prayer. And we're going to be quoting some scriptures. We're going to be reading some. But we're going to be doing a lot of reading outside of the Bible, if you will. Okay? And this is off a particular handout that I actually put together almost 20 years ago. And it is on the Fellowship of the Spirit Facebook page, and it is in the notes section. And if anybody would like me, and sometimes the notes don't come up quite right, if anybody would like me to email you the 12-page Word document or PDF, go ahead and hit me on private message on Facebook or at fotspm@gmail.com. You can also email me and request it that way. But we know, sisters and brothers, for prayer to be effective, there are certain requirements that have to be met. And the first one, obviously, is we have to be walking right. We have to be walking straight before our God. We have to be walking where we're pleasing in His sight according to His commandments, His statutes, His judgments, and His laws. We understand that. We have to believe in what we're asking for that we're going to receive it. We have to ask in the name of Jesus or go through our high priest. We understand that He only hears the prayers of the righteous. We understand that He wants us as much as possible to pray in private, but that doesn't mean we can't pray as a group. That just means we don't make a spectacle of ourselves. We pray in private when we want to bring up most of our petitions, okay, that we can fast. We can fast as a method to have our prayers heard on high. We could pray toward the temple or toward the east, toward Jerusalem, as a surefire way to have our prayers heard on high. And we know that we can come boldly before that throne because our Messiah, He suffered the same temptation that we did. But we know that it all starts with us walking right. And we, of course, we know that there's certain things that hinder our prayers. If you're married, the way you treat your wife will hinder your prayer, and vice versa. Okay? Turning your ear away from the hearing of the law is an abomination in God's eyes, and that'll cut you off from prayer. Or just being straight out, flat out wicked or lawless in God's eyes will have your prayer not heard. So we understand those requirements for this prayer to be heard. Okay? Prayer and meditation, according to the morning watch, as it is sometimes referred to, it consists of a period of prayer that's followed by scripture reading, okay? There is time spent that is meditating or reflecting on the passages that you've read or on God's precepts or commandments, and then there's time spent listening for instructions or guidance. And this can be done at any time of the day. You can do it at night. You can do it in the middle of the day. You can do it any time you want to do it. But the early morning hours are found to be the best because at this time we're well-rested, hopefully from a good night's sleep, Okay, our minds aren't full of the cares and worries and all the rigors of the day that's ahead of us, and we're fresh and we're open-minded. And there's eight elements to an effective morning watch, and this is what we're going to be breaking down over at least the next 2 weeks, maybe three. We're going to assign a definitive time first thing in the morning. We're going to get quiet and relaxed, and we're going to become expectantly patient. We're going to be doing some reading of the Bible and other devotionals before our two-way prayer begins, okay? We're going to be praying to God with confessions of things that we see where we've fallen short, and we're going to bring our petitions of thanksgiving and intercession to our Heavenly Father. Then there's going to be time spent listening for guidance from God, and we're going to show you that there's a benefit to writing down the thoughts received. And then we're going to have a way that we check the messages to be sure that all the guidance that we're getting is from God. And then we're going to cover obedience to the guidance received. Okay? And when you're first looking at this and you're hearing this, this sounds like, oh my goodness, this sounds like it's so much, it's going to be overwhelming. But we're going to start this off. Those of you that want to practice this method of prayer as we're going over it over the next couple of weeks, you're going to start this off with about 15 minutes after your normal Bible reading or whatever it is, lessons or whatever you do in the morning, whatever devotionals you might have. I know that some of us, when we first come into the Word, we get one of those one-a-day devotionals. We try to do that every morning. I did that for 2 or 3 years when I first came into the Word, trying to do all these little devotionals and then just reading Proverbs and just reading Psalms and whatever. We can incorporate those devotionals into our two-way prayer, and we'll show you how to do that too. And all these elements of this morning watch or quiet time, what is known as two-way prayer, these are practices that are a simple and they're an effective tool for spiritual growth. And what these practices involve is praying only for the knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. That's the main thing that we're praying for, the knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. If you're having a problem in your Bible studies and you can't quite wrap your heart around a precept, this is the time that we take it to our God in prayer and meditation. And we'll cover that also. So now, Brother Jeremy, give us the definition. This is Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, the 10th edition, and this is the definition of meditate. Give us that definition, brother.
Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, 10th edition, defines meditate in terms of engaging in contemplation or reflection, and when directed at an object, focus up one's thoughts on pondering over.
To focus one's thoughts on pondering over. Now, this isn't some kind of Eastern meditation where we're just going to let our mind go blank to whatever spirit wants to invade it. But we're going to find that when we do meditation the proper way and we're directing our focus or our contemplation on an object, this object is going to be the Word of God. It's going to be either a precept or it's going to be a fruit of the Spirit or an entire scripture. Or it could just be whatever petition we're bringing up to God. Father, I'm really looking for more patience. How can I have more patience today? That could be one of the questions or the precepts that we're bringing into our two-way prayer. And we focus our thoughts and we ponder over whatever it is that we're directing our attention to or meditating on. And while we're doing that, our mind is going to go blank. But we're not just making it go blank to invite spirits in. Our mind, the Lord, will push those thoughts aside of His scripture or His precept or that fruit of the Spirit or whatever we're meditating on. And this is where the listening aspect down the road comes in, because He's going to fill it with thoughts that are going to come from Him. And I know it might sound strange and foreign if you've never had any type of instruction in prayer and meditation, But just bear with these next couple of hours of instruction, and you'll see that it is a simple and effective tool for spiritual growth. So let's just bear with the teaching first, and then we can make our decision down the road of whether or not this is something that we would like to endeavor, if this is one of the methods we would like to incorporate into our prayer meditation. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Thus, when the Bible speaks of meditating, as it often does, it is speaking of focusing thoughts on, pondering over, and studying the Word of God. The following are some of the many verses which speak of meditating on God, His work, and His Word. The Word of God is variously referred to as His Word, His commandments, His precepts, His teachings, His statutes, and His law.
You got to understand, when I wrote this almost 20 years ago, I didn't write it to the saint in particular. I wrote it for whoever would come across this particular method of prayer and meditation. But of course, we understand that when we're speaking of meditating on God, it's His work, it's His Word, it's His commandments, His precepts, His teaching, His statutes, His laws. Let's go to Psalm 104, brother. Go to Psalm 104. We're going to read a few scriptures that talk about meditation. And thanks to a dear brother who opened up my eyes, or the Lord opened my eyes through this dear brother, we're not going to have to rush through this. If we take this for two or three Sundays in a row, God's will be done. Psalm 104, brother, one verse, verse 34. Go ahead.
My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord.
My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let's go over to Psalm, the 77th chapter. Psalm 77. Psalm 77. And brother, pick it up in verse 12. 77 and 12. Go ahead, brother.
I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doing.
Uh-huh.
Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God?
Yes, sir.
Thou art the God that does wonders, that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people.
Yes, sir. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. And who is so great as our God, is great a God as our God? We're going to meditate on all His work. Let's go to Psalm, the first chapter. Probably should have started here. Psalm 1. And brother, pick it up in verse 2. Psalm 1 and verse 2. Go ahead.
But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night.
Yes, sir. Talking about a servant. Go ahead.
And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth its fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. Now, this particular method is about morning meditation, but we're also going to cover some of the things we should be addressing at night as we go through this also. But right now, let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And, brother, let's pick this up in verse 91. Verse 97. Psalm 119 and verse 97. Go ahead.
Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day.
My meditation all the day. Go ahead, brother.
Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies. They are ever with me.
They're ever with me because we're meditating on them all through the day. And we don't have to be quiet with our legs crossed and our arms out and everything be all, to be meditating. You can be taking a quick pause at work and just throw up a quick prayer. You can meditate while you're doing something at work, or if you're retired or whatever, while you're sitting around, you could be meditating on something. I'm meditating on God's word, meditating on I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. Just that one scripture right there will give you hours upon hours of meditation. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 99.
Yes, sir.
I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation.
You mean I got more understanding than Brother Bowie and Brother Daniel and all my elders that taught me? Absolutely. for thy testimonies are my meditations. They didn't teach me everything that was in the Bible. What they taught me was how to rightly divide God's word, how to do it precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. And if you're meditating, I remember my one teacher used to say all the time, you'll never be as smart as me, because I keep meditating on God's word all the time. Every day I'm meditating on God's word and studying God's word. I've got to stay one step ahead. But the book tells me that I have more understanding than all my teachers, for God's testimonies are my meditation. Brothers and sisters, not a day should be missed. Back it up a couple of verses. Let's go to verse 15. 119 and verse 15. Brother, go ahead.
I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word.
I will not forget thy word. Amen. Go to verse 78. 119 and verse 78. Go ahead.
Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts.
But I will meditate in thy precepts. Back it up to verse 48, brother. Go ahead.
My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And I will meditate in thy statutes.
I will meditate in thy statutes. All talking about meditating on the word of God. Go up to 119 and verse 148. Go ahead 100 verses, brother. 148. Go ahead.
Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word.
That I might meditate in thy word. Sisters and brothers, when the Old Testament spoke of meditation, it described the thinking process, which focused thoughts on and pondered over and studied about God, his works, and his word. And in addressing Timothy, Paul warned against seducing spirits and doctrines of devils with lies and hypocrisy. He urged the word of God and prayer and the rejection of profane and old wives' fables. He urged reading, exhortation, and doctrine. You can see that in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And he concluded with this. Brother, let's go to 1 Timothy 4 and pick it up in verse 15. Give him a chance if anybody's going along with us. 1 Timothy 4. I'm sure everybody's got their Bible, but some of you are probably thinking this is a little strange format, and it is. Bear with us. 1 Timothy 4, and pick it up at 15, brother. Go ahead. This is how Paul urged reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Go ahead.
Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee.
So Paul said you should be meditating. This is how he concluded this letter to Timothy, or this particular portion of it. Meditate on these things. On what things? The doctrine that God had given you through Paul, had given Timothy through Paul, what we know is the truth of the word. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. He said, take heed to yourself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, you shall both save yourself and them that hear you. And he's commanding you to meditate in the word of God. Sisters and brothers, there's some sources that we're going to use for the rest of this reference in this handout on the morning quiet time. And they are several pamphlets from an organization called the Oxford Group. It was a first century Christian fellowship. And the co-founders of Alcoholics Anonymous, Dr. Bob Smith and Bill Wilson. I had asked elders about praying and meditating. I had come into the Word through Alcoholics Anonymous, and I had done the step work. According to the book, the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous, I am what they refer to as a recovered alcoholic. Not always in recovery, not going to be recovering. I have recovered from what they considered a hopeless condition of mind and body. In other words, a spiritual illness, a spiritual sickness. I was spiritually sick. What the book calls, I was wicked. Okay? alcoholism and drug addiction, it's not a disease, it's a choice. Make no mistake about it. But when you get to a point where you enjoy it for so long and so much and you get used to the way it makes you feel and it numbs your senses and takes away your emotions, and there's some other things, we're not trying to turn this into a meeting like that, but what it does is the Father drawing you to Him. And I'll give you a real quick example. One of the co-founders, Dr. Bob Smith, when presented with this gentleman you'll hear about later, Clarence Snyder, okay, he told Clarence Snyder, I got the solution for you. And this is when Clarence was coming out of the DTs. He was in a sanitarium coming out of DTs. He said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to introduce you to Christ Jesus. And then there's certain things that you're going to need to do on a daily basis in order to keep what God gives you. And Clarence said, oh, man, I don't know about all this, Bob. I'm out of here, man. I'd do anything but this God thing. And Bob just very politely started wrapping up his Bible and his little briefcase he had with him, told him, take care, young fella, stood up to walk out. And Clarence said, wait a minute, where are you going? He goes, I only know one way to help you, and if you don't want that help, I wish you well. Take care. And then Clarence decided that he really needed the help. Dr. Bob Smith, who was an actual physician, brought him to Christ, showed him some of the tools that they used to get him to recover from alcoholism, and Clarence Snyder promptly became one of the first co-founders of Alcoholics Anonymous, and to the day he died, never had another drink, which was like 30-some-odd years. And if I'm not mistaken, he co-founded AA in Chicago. Okay? So this particular method that the Oxford group had come to see with the prayer and meditation is what the early co-founders of Alcoholics Anonymous used to bring alcoholics to a point where they could quit drinking and they could recover from alcoholism. This Oxford group, again, was a first century Christian fellowship, and they believed that one must surrender to God not only to be converted from sin, but to have his entire life controlled by God. They believed in quiet time or meditation during which a believer would get guidance of what to do or as to the direction he should take. And this was talking about on a daily basis for daily chores and to guide themselves on a daily basis. This wasn't talking about whether I should go to church on Sunday or Saturday or whatever. They believed in sin. They believed they needed to be converted from sin, and they believed that they had the way to do this. Okay? And they believed once they came into this way of living that the quiet time or meditation was something that they had to do. They believed in open confession of sins one to another following James, the 5th chapter, verse 16 in the scriptures. They believed in the healing of the soul and carrying the message of personal and worldwide redemption through the sharing of members' testimony by witnessing. So in a sense, the Oxford group believed that people had sick souls, most of which was caused by self-centeredness. They believed that people were powerless over this human condition or this defect of the soul, the body, what the Bible calls this flesh. And to recover, one had to admit he was separated from God and his fellow man, and that God could manage their lives where they were no longer able to. Thus, you could see why Alcoholics Anonymous would take on these directions from the Oxford group, because they were hopeless alcoholics. They couldn't stop drinking. So the Oxford group believed that they had to make an inventory of their lives and of their sins and to make full restitution to others, those that they had hurt by their sins or their shortcomings. They also had to witness to others as to their own conversion from sin and be available to convert others from sin. In other words, you had to be out there and you had to be ready with meekness and humility to tell others the hope that was in you. Now, I don't know how much understanding they had, whether they kept Christmas. I know they were a Sunday organization. But that's not what we're looking at here. Okay? What we're looking at is at the method of prayer that they used and the state of mind that they said you had to be in. You had to be free from sin to have this prayer heard. And then you had to take what was given you and you had to share that with others. Okay? They believed and were taught that the only way you could keep what had been given to you by God was to share it with someone else or to give it away to someone else. And they didn't try to force anyone into their path. They weren't going door to door and banging on doors or any of that. But when they came across someone that needed prayer and that needed mercy and grace, they were there to give it to them, and they were there to witness to them what God had done in their lives. And they were to live their lives as an example that would inspire others to want to follow. Boy, does that sound familiar. Like Exodus, the 19th chapter, verses 5 and 6. They were to live their lives as an example which would inspire others to want to follow. The Oxford group held certain theological beliefs, including the following. 1, the sovereignty and power of God. 2, the reality of sin. 3, the need for complete surrender to the will of God. 4, Christ's atoning sacrifice and transforming power. 5, the sustenance of prayer. And 6, the duty to witness to others. Its beliefs included other elements added as the movement grew and became more popular. And some of the examples are as the belief that an experience in Christ would transform a believer if he truly believed beyond anything he had dreamed was possible. And those of us that have come to Christ and have become servants, we know that peace that we feel at times. And we never believed it was possible to at times have that peace like we do. To consistently hit the pillow at night and go right to sleep. And if you don't, you know, wait a minute, man, something's not right. Where did I fall short? Why am I being chastised? The more you grow in grace, the more little things make sense. But we understand that the coming to Christ can transform us in ways that we never dreamed possible. Some of us could look at that old man. We know that if that old man hadn't died, we wouldn't be sitting here today. Some of us understand that. So we understand that belief. The belief that an inherent or a servant could and should make prompt restitution for personal wrongs revealed to him by his life-changing experience. I just got done reading Samuel again. Samuel stood up in front of the entire nation of Israel, and he told them, if I defrauded anybody, if I stole from anybody, if I hurt anybody, I'm willing to make amends to you right now. It's a biblical principle. It's a biblical principle. They also believe that their followers should have a formula for checking their motives in following this new path or in becoming a servant of the Most High God. Part of the checking procedure included the four absolutes. And what the Oxford group, what they believed were these four absolutes was the personality of Christ Jesus. They involved absolute honesty, unselfishness, purity, and love. They believed that these were the four absolute standards of Jesus. And this is what your conduct was to be measured against. That sounds to me like being Christ-like. The absolutes are mentioned in the basic text of Alcoholics Anonymous. AA members knew that no one could ever hope to attain the perfection of absolute anything. They instead were told to strive for perfection as their guide to spiritual progress, knowing that they would never fully attain it, not in this flesh. And what I just went over was an excerpt by an AA member, Mitchell K. He is a AA historian. There's a few of them I'll mention in these handouts here. And he was, or this part was taken from a book on Clarence Snyder, one of the original members of AA. Quite simply, Alcoholics Anonymous was formed on the underlying philosophies of the Oxford group, all biblical and centered on this. Surrender as much of yourself as you can to as much of God as you understand him to be. God will come through to you, make himself known, and enable you to understand more. You will come to believe. You will come to find God. And that was a statement by Samuel M. Schumacher, Jr., and he was an Episcopal rector at Calvary Church in New York and later in Pittsburgh, and he was dubbed by AA's Bill Wilson as another co-founder of Alcoholics Anonymous. Okay? How are we doing on time here? I really don't want to go too far past an hour.
35.
We got us another half hour at least. Let's go right on to the next page. The Oxford Group and Alcoholics Anonymous, as it was intended to be, because what Alcoholics Anonymous is today is nothing near what it was intended to be. It was all biblical in nature. They didn't have any finding your inner child or any of this other treatment alternatives. They believed that you could not stay sober and that you could not live a moral life because your sins had blocked you from God. And what you had to do was you had to clear away the wreckage of your past. You had to make amends were due the people that you had hurt. You had to stop living the way you were. And you had to place yourself to be of maximum service to God and the people about you by putting your selfishness to the side. And there was a series in the steps, biblical steps, that involved losing your anger, losing your lack of patience, losing your lack of forgiveness. And it was all a series of different lists and whatnot that you would do along with someone who had already recovered from a hopeless condition of mind and body. And they would guide you through the step process, all biblical in nature. And then what you would do through steps 10, 11, and 12, step 10 being that you're always looking for when you make a mistake so you can right your wrong. So in other words, you're being sober and vigilant and you're looking for sin. And if you harm someone, you run and make amends immediately. In other words, if you have aught against your brother or your brother has aught against you, you go make things right. Step 11 was a detailed step on prayer and meditation, and that's where this came from. And then step 12 was being of service to others, which involved mainly witnessing to others and showing them what you did to relieve or to be relieved of that hopeless condition of mind and body. So the Oxford Group and Alcoholics Anonymous, as it was intended to be, were people who were trying to the best of their ability to serve God. And the focus of this handout is going to be on the 11th step of Alcoholics Anonymous. But I had to give you all the background on everything so that you would be able to understand this even more. Okay? The focus of this handout is going to be on the 11th step of Alcoholics Anonymous with an in-depth look at the morning watch. As with all the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, there are some suggestions that we need to follow. And God will constantly guide us if we are willing to accept his guidance and to the best of our ability live up to the four absolutes. Remember, it's about walking perfect before God. The prayer is one of our greatest weapons, one of our greatest assets. But it's not effective if we're not using it right. And to use it right, we have to be walking perfect before God to the best of our ability, regardless of the personal consequences. Never do we twist the scripture to justify our actions. Our actions are either justified or they're nullified by the standard of God's word. If we're not walking straight and we're not doing the very best we can to walk straight, the Lord's not even going to hear our prayers. So they believed, just like we believe, that you had to be walking to the very best of your ability, Christ-like, without sin. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. And this is right out of the big book. It says, we shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works. If we have the proper attitude and work at it, that proper attitude they wrote in the book Alcoholics Anonymous was talking about being sin-free. And it says it would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make definite and valuable suggestions on the prayer and meditation. That page is 85 and 86 of the big book, or basic text, Alcoholics Anonymous. Let's start with how we begin our day and take it through the suggestions of how to end our day. We will be putting our emphasis on the morning quiet time, as this is where we get our guidance for our conduct throughout the day. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. We're going to ask God when we start our prayer meditation to help us set our spirit right. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. Forget that lottery ticket and that big money job. We keep our prayers and our petitions within God's will, knowing that if we seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, all things will be added unto us. Morning prayer and meditation is not the time to ask the Lord for that big job, paying job, or that lottery ticket. Praying always. You don't ask him that in prayer and meditation. In the morning prayer and meditation, you're asking him to guide you throughout your day and to show you how you can be of service to others, how you can be of help to others. You're directing your prayer the proper way. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. This method, sisters and brothers, takes some time. You make it result immediately the first day, but it takes some time because it's going to be strange. It's going to be a little odd to you. It's going to take a couple of weeks for it to really settle in under your belt until things just become second nature. But again, we relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. Excuse me. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspirational or the, I'm sorry, or the occasional inspiration gradually become a working part of the mind. We will be surprised how the right answers come after we've tried this for a while, but after a while, sisters and brothers, when we practice this form of two-way prayer, that occasional inspiration or that hunch that we used to get actually becomes something that we rely upon. I'll give you a quick example. I go to the store, and I can't remember on the clean and unclean list if this particular product might have gelatin in it, or maybe this particular product's not even on the clean and unclean list, but it's got gelatin. I have taken this item off the shelf, and I can't remember what particular item. I've done it more than once, several times, more than a handful, and I picked it up, and I just thrown myself into quick prayer and went, Lord, I'm not sure if I can get this or not, but I know I need whatever it was, asparagus or whatever, and just taking the time and just casting my care upon him, he gave me the feeling, should I put it back on the shelf or should I keep it? And it, when I follow that feeling, I've never been wrong. I've taken it, I bought it under the feeling that, yes, go ahead and take it, it's clean. Gotten home, looked it up, and it was clean. Gotten the feeling that it was unclean, left it on a shelf, didn't buy it, went home and looked it up, and it was unclean. After we start practicing prayer and meditation, sisters and brothers, we come to rely upon these inspirations that we get. And then it says we usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no requests for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. If circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not members of religious bodies, we come sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also. Okay? These are the basic suggestions for the Morning Watcher Quiet Time used by the Oxford Group and later adopted by the pioneers of Alcoholics Anonymous. Not only were they asking for guidance for the day ahead, but this was also the time they would take any particular problem that they needed answers to. In meditation, we ask God what we should do about each specific matter. The right answer will come if we want it. Page 69, the Big Book, Alcoholics Anonymous. Let's get right into the first element. And I'm going to have Brother Jeremy start reading, because I'll be stopping him from time to time, just like as if we were doing a study. And we'll, in fact, Brother Jeremy, let's first look at some of the scriptures that deal with the morning watch. Down at the bottom of page 5, let's go to Psalm 5, sisters and brothers. Let's go to Psalm, the 5th chapter. Psalm 5, and what we're going to be dealing with first is assigning a definite time first thing in the morning. Psalm 5, and pick it up at verse 1. Read 1 through 3, brother. Go ahead.
Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray.
Uh-huh.
My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee.
My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. Go ahead, brother. Did you finish it and we'll look up?
Yes.
In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and we'll look up. Yes, we're supposed to be praying always. You pray at night, you pray during the day, you pray all the time. But what this is, it's morning meditation. Let's go to Psalm 59. Psalm 59 and one verse, brother, verse 16. Psalm 59 and verse 16. Go ahead.
But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble.
I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. Let's go to Psalm 88. Psalm 88. And brother, pick it up at verse 13. Go ahead.
But unto thee have I cried, O Lord. And in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee.
But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. One more place, Psalm 92, and brother, pick it up at verse 1. 92 and verse 1, go ahead.
It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night.
To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Remember, sisters and brothers, when we're getting up in the morning, we're praying and we're meditating and we're bringing him a particular petition or intercession. We're fresh. We're fresh-minded. We don't have any cares of anything in our heart. Hopefully, we've just gotten a good morning, or I'm sorry, a good night's sleep, and we're getting up. We've set a definitive or a definite time first thing in the morning. This is the first element. This is the first element of the morning watch. Brother, go to the top of page 5, the early morning hours. Go ahead.
Assigning a definite time first thing in the morning.
Uh-huh.
The early morning hours were found to be the best. At this time, we were well rested and our minds were not full of the cares, worries, and rigors of the day ahead. We were fresh and open-minded.
Sisters and brothers, sometimes you get up early in the morning to pray or read your book, and you have a hard time making coffee because you're so foggy first thing in the morning. You're open-minded. You can get into that state of meditation very easily first thing in the morning. Go ahead, brother.
The morning walks with God is the surest guarantee of progress. If I appear to stand exactly where I did a year ago, it must mean that I have been missing all those things which God was waiting to teach and give me.
If you appear to stand exactly where you did a year ago, something's wrong, sisters and brothers. Every time the Passover comes up, a month or two before the Passover, we're supposed to start examining ourselves. We're always supposed to be taking a look at what is going on around us. We're supposed to be in his book on a regular basis. You can't help but grow just in that matter. If you appear to be exactly where you are a year ago, or where you were at a year ago, and it's today, you have definitive problems that need to be addressed in your spiritual makeup. Because we should be growing on a daily basis, sisters and brothers. Go ahead, Brother Jeremy.
The stress on this watch with God as the morning watch is of vital importance. It is the time when we are most free from distractions. The early morning is also the time when our psychological makeup, which makes us peculiarly susceptible to deeper intuitions in our first minutes of reawakened consciousness.
And this is by a gentleman named Jack C. Winslow. And I actually have this book. It's called When I Awake. And he was an Oxford Group writer, and he wrote specifically on Oxford Group principles. Okay, brother, go ahead and let's see what Samuel Schumacher had to say. Go ahead.
We want to know that God can and does speak directly to the human heart. The reason why some of us believe in guidance, at least in theory, is that the Old and New Testaments were full of instances of it, specific as you please.
Uh-huh.
Men said clearly that they were guided of God in this and that act and decision.
And you can read that all over the book, that like even Peter. Peter's up there, and he's up on the rooftop, and he's getting a vision. That's prayer and meditation. Peter's getting this vision of these unclean animals through prayer and meditation. Go ahead, brother.
You may try to psychologize all this away if you want. But I prefer to see whether this sort of thing is not now possible to those who put their trust in God entirely.
Uh-huh.
It goes without saying that such a period is best in the early morning, while the body and mind are fresh and rested, the perceptions clear and unclouded, and the days before us.
But now you notice what it says, sisters and brothers, but I prefer to see whether this sort of thing is now possible to those who put their trust in God entirely, walking perfect before Him. Walking perfect before Him. And then it goes on to say again about the early morning hours being the best time. Our perceptions are clear and unclouded in the days ahead of us. Go ahead, brother.
We shall want to stop more than once in the day for further direction.
Praying always. Go ahead.
Especially with others about problems which concern them and us. For nothing makes up for our own private time alone with the living God.
Nothing makes up for our own private time alone with the living God. And this was by Samuel M. Schumacher, Jr., and this was a book he had written called The Conversion of the Church. Nothing should stop us from spending time alone with God, sisters and brothers. Nothing. It's a common salvation, but it is a personal relationship with God. You get into two-way prayer and start getting intuitions from Him and become obedient to the directions received, and great things happen. But let's continue. Pick it up at the middle of the page where it says, it is not necessary, brother.
It is not necessary to make long prayers, but it is essential to be much alone with God,
uh-huh.
Waiting at His door, hearkening for His voice, lingering in the garden of Scripture for the coming of the Lord God in the dawn or cool of the day. No number of meetings, no fellowship with Christian friends, no amount of Christian activity can compensate for the neglect of still hours.
No number of meetings, no fellowship with Christian friends, no amount of Christian activity can compensate for the neglect of the still hour. This is by F.B. Meyer, and it's called The Secret of Guidance. And he was a popular evangelist. And I also have that book. Let's get into the daily quiet time. Go ahead, brother.
Daily quiet time. This cannot be emphasized too much. Not a day should be missed. The early morning hours are best.
Not a day should be missed. This cannot be emphasized too much. Go ahead, brother.
It may be that more than one quiet time will be needed during the day. Whatever need arises, one should stop and pray and listen.
Uh-huh.
The method of holding quiet time varies some with each individual. All include prayer and Bible reading and study and patient listening to God.
And this was from Ann Smith's journal, and Ann was Dr. Bob's wife and is considered by some historians to be a co-founder of Alcoholics Anonymous. In fact, Bill Wilson referred to her as the mother of AA. And some of these notes were from her journal taken from the Oxford group. They became the basis for AA's spiritual program or for their prayer and meditation. Go ahead, brother.
He, an alcoholic, must have devotions every morning, a quiet time of prayer, and some reading in the from the Bible and other religious literature. Unless this is faithfully followed, there is grave danger of backsliding. The AA members of that time did not consider meetings necessary to maintain sobriety. They were simply desirable. Morning devotion and quiet time, however, were must.
And this is from Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers, a biography with recollections of early AA in the Midwest. Okay? And it says that the AA members of that time did not consider meetings necessary to maintain sobriety. But today, you go to modern AA, and you say you're going to a meeting and you miss it. They look at you with eyes suspect, boy. They want to know what happened. Were you out drinking? You know you got to do meetings to stay sober. So they did not consider meetings necessary to maintain sobriety. They were simply desirable. However, morning devotion and quiet times were a must. These were things that had to happen. I'm looking at the clock. We're going to go through one more of the elements, and then we're going to call it a night for tonight, and we'll pick up part three next week, part two of the morning watch or two-way prayer. Last thing we're going to cover tonight is getting quiet, relaxed, and expectantly patient. This is the second element of the morning watch. Let's look at some scriptures that deal with the quiet, peaceful, relaxed stance. Let's go to Psalm 46. Psalm 46 and, brother, one verse. Psalm 46 and verse 10. Go ahead.
Be still and know that I am God.
Uh-huh.
I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth.
Be still and know that I am God. We're getting quiet and peaceful. We're having that relaxed stance. We're going to get still. Let's go to Psalm, the 37th chapter. Psalm 37, one verse, brother. Verse 7, go ahead.
Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him.
Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. How many times have we thrown up prayers? Oh, great God of Israel, this, that, or the other, take this anger from me, whatever. Show me what I should do. I'm not sure what direction I should take. And all we're doing is spending our time talking. In fact, most prayers that we pray, we spend all our time talking, and then in Jesus' name, amen, then we go about whatever it is that we're doing. We never spend any time listening for a response to our prayers. We don't get still. We don't get rested and patient waiting for him. We say up our prayers, we turn around and go about our day. Did you finish that, brother? Finish verse 7.
Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass.
Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself. We're supposed to be still. Let's go to Philippians, the 4th chapter. Philippians, the 4th chapter. Philippians 4. And brother, when you get there, let's pick it up at verse 6. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Go ahead.
Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known.
Be careful. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Go ahead.
And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
And that's exactly what happens in morning meditation, sisters and brothers. You get still, you rest in the Lord, and you wait patiently for him. And don't be careful for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, you let your requests be known unto him. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Sisters and brothers, sometimes the only peace I have during the day is that amount of time I spend in quiet time, and especially the portion of the time I spend listening. The peace that that gives me in the morning enables me to make it through some of my days. But the getting quiet, relaxed, and expectantly patient, we've already got a definite time first thing in the morning. We've set our alarms, whatever, we're getting up. Now we're getting quiet, relaxed, and expectantly patient. Schumacher and the others who taught AAs often talked about shutting the door, the morning time for Bible study, reading, prayer, listening, and checking was to be done in an unhurried, relaxed, quiet, peaceful setting. And this is by a very dear acquaintance of me. His name was Dick B. The title of this book was called Good Morning. He was also an AA historian. He has since passed away. It says, have a definite place where you can be alone to concentrate on heavenly thoughts, even surrounded by others amid real confusion. It is an art to become unmindful of others when absorbed in communion, or just meaning absorbed in prayer. Those of you that have children, I get my children up in the morning to get them ready for school. I'm already up an hour to an hour and a half before I have to wake them up, getting into my book and my prayer and meditation. But there are some days, humans, they get up early. Now, my oldest daughter, she's trying to do a proverb a day for the whole year. And this is something she just started, knowing that it's man's year she's trying to do this for. So she usually gets up at 6. Some days it's 4:15, 5:30. Hi, Daddy, she's wide awake. But I can get back into my prayer and meditation because I've been doing it so long, I can set aside those distractions. It says to concentrate on heavenly thoughts, even surrounded by others, amid real confusion. It is an art to become unmindful of others when absorbed in communion. Seek the out-of-doors frequently to feel the holy hush of nature newly born. Make your bedroom a gateway into his presence. Shut the door on the world and all that the world distracts. Closet yourself with the Lord Jesus. Let nothing on your part make such intimacy difficult. That's by Donald W. Carruthers. And that is How to Find Reality in Your Morning Devotions. And that's actually a little, it's like a little pamphlet that you can find online, and you can still print it today. How to Find Reality in Your Morning Devotions by Donald W. Carruthers. The stance of the believer was to be one of rest, patience, stillness, waiting upon God in silence, expecting God to do the directing. And when we come back next Sunday, sisters and brothers, we will begin with a quick synopsis of what we've covered already, and then we will pick it up at the third element of the eighth, the reading the Bible and devotionals before two-way prayer begins. So with that, I want to say that it is an honor and a privilege to stand before you on Sunday nights, and I hope that somebody gets something from this period of instruction. And they all hung up a long time ago.
No, brother, that was awesome. Awesome, awesome, brother. My goodness. And I got to say, man, that took a lot of courage, you know, to reveal some personal struggles in your life that you had to overcome. You know, not everybody's willing to go there. Everybody want to act like they all can't. They fell from heaven. You know, some of us, you know, want to blame everybody except for their mama. You know, everybody and their mama, I should say, for their own ills. You know, but to come clean and to free yourself
you know, and then show that this is how it worked for you and that this is a proven incident. This is proven that prayer and meditation will deliver you and that the Father will answer prayers. You can't, it don't get any better than that. You know, it don't get any better than that. I can remember when I think it was Rebecca and Isaac was praying, and the one guy had just brought Rebecca back to be Isaac's wife, and right here. It's Genesis 24. Rebecca said this, and God wanted this to be heard, or else he wouldn't have had this written. He wanted this to be heard. And I'm going to see if it was any time of the day. Okay, yeah. This is Genesis 24 and 62. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lehi-Roh, and dwelt in the south country. Now Isaac went out to meditate in a field at evening time. Are we okay now? Yeah, if it's gonna be that, then you're gonna have to. All right. Genesis 24, it says, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening tide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off of the camel. And this was the first time that he met his wife. And he was praying when he met his wife. She was covered in prayers. The servant, when he asked the father to guide him to find Rebekah for Isaac, he prayed. And he said this, he said, and before I had done speaking in mine heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher in her shoulder, and she went down to the well and drew water and said, and I said unto her, let me drink, and I pray thee. And then she made haste and started giving camels a drink. But the key was that he prayed in his heart for her. This woman turned out to be the one that saved the kingdom. What do you mean? The father told her through prayer that, or through a night vision, that this, you know, you got two manners of people within you. The older is going to serve the younger. And he revealed to her the covenant was going to go to the younger. And so she knew that that was from God. And when the time came that Isaac was going to bless his sons, which were twins, Esau and Jacob, and Esau, being the older of the twins, was supposed to receive a blessing. Of course, he had already sold his birthright, but he was going to try to get the blessing anyway. But Rebekah remembered what it was that God had revealed to her. All of this was through the vacuum of prayer. All of it was through the funnel of prayer. The servant prayed for her in the privacy of his mind, which the God of Israel is the only one that hear prayers. He the only one that hear them. He the only one that can read your mind. So if you're praying in the privacy of your mind, you're looking for a breakthrough, and this is what they receive, a breakthrough. Rebekah was the breakthrough. What if he spoke it out into the open, then it was an opportunity for the enemy to replace her, stall her, and send a wicked woman toward him? She would have never fulfilled that prophecy. and everything could have went haywire. This is that power of meditation and prayer. And then, as he was coming along, Isaac was out praying at the evening tide. So this thing about being prayers and deliverance, brother, is a powerful thing. It's a powerful mechanism. It knocked down the walls for Peter. It knocked down the walls for Peter and so forth, and the disciples, the apostles, and increased faith. You need these things. Without faith, you know, it's impossible to please God. So you got to have faith that your prayers are even being heard. So if you got faith that your prayers being heard, then you got faith that you are being delivered from the things that you're going through. This is great, man. I really love this. And I really appreciate the fact that you're showing everybody through prayer that you yourself were delivered from bondage of the flesh. So I yield a mic with that.
Are there any other testimonies? Brother Paul, you still there?
And just one more thing, to have the courage to bring up the fact that the scriptures do say I've learned more than my teachers. You know, people are afraid to use that verse. Like something is wrong with that. If my teacher, if I'm not learning, if I haven't increased more than my teacher, then my teacher failed.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? He failed. If I haven't learned more than him, he failed. Everything that we're learning, we're supposed to pass it to the next generation. That's the whole point of school, education, technology, so forth. It's to improve on technology and wisdom. If my teacher is telling me that I'm not wiser than him, then he failed as a teacher. And a lot, and I thank you for having courage to bring that up. Nakomi reads that a lot too. He reads that verse a lot. You know, and that's not with pride, but it's just the way it is. You're supposed to look for your students. You're supposed to look for your children to be intelligent or more intelligent, or you're supposed to groom them where they can be more, have more understanding than what you have. So, all of that being said, man, great lesson, and thank you for the courage to even deal with this. In Jesus' name, thank you for the strength to even having the courage to even bring this up. I yield the mic again.
Praise be to God, brother. Praise be to God. And like Brother Job read, you know, don't let anybody tell you, oh, you can't have no personal relationship with God. It's a common salvation. It is common salvation. But I can't read where God went to Peter, to anybody but Peter, with the three sheets and sent the strangers to him. That prayer and meditation was a personal relationship and a common salvation. Just like the other scriptures that Brother Job read. Those were brothers out there praying and meditating. That was a personal relationship between the brother and the Lord, waiting on his wife to come to him. And we can all have a personal relationship through prayer and meditation. We all have to. We're all individuals. We have to have a personal relationship all up inside this common salvation. And I talked too much already tonight, so I'm going to be quiet and yield the mic again. Anybody else? Any more questions or comments or salutations? Anything?
Can you hear me?
I can.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Paul. This is Sister Rhea. I just want to say thank you so much for sharing with us this evening this precept about prayer and meditation. This is one of my favorite subjects. Through your lesson, I was just reminded that the only way to discipline the mind, our minds, is to connect with the truth, which is to spend regular time in prayer and meditation daily with the Father. Amen. And if we apply ourselves to prayer, what I'm seeing is if we apply ourselves to prayer, we could truly free ourselves from the ills of humanity, from all these ills, and then we can truly use our gift, which you taught us a month ago. The gift is the precious blood of Jesus Christ, that he gave his life for us to serve others, amen, and not for self-gain. So that's what I'm seeing this evening through your lesson. So me, I look to prayer as like communication with God. When I say communication or communion, should I say communion? People think of communion like every first Sunday or whatever, but or every Sunday, I don't know. But to me, prayer is like communion with God. And then, so communion, I'm going to look up the definition. My husband always says, what does communion mean? Communion means the sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings, especially when the exchange is on a mental or spiritual level. So prayer and meditation to me is like communion with God. Amen? And so the communion with the Father to me is like it's an attitude of the mind and the heart. It lifts us into this spiritual, wonderful sense of oneness with God, with God with spirit. Amen. And the truth is every good and perfect thing. Amen. And I'm a witness to prayer and meditation that it develops our character, Brother Paul, as you say. It brings us to a higher state of mind, a higher state of ourself. And I'm going to use what my says, it builds a mind that is always open to the spirit, and through that spirit, brothers and sisters, we attain what? Consciousness. My husband taught us about consciousness last month. We attain consciousness with God's perfect love, his life, his power. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word is God. That's where our consciousness is attained. We attain oneness with God by achieving the example that Jesus set when he said in John 10:30, I and my Father are one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when we meet Christ in our consciousness, and it is when we are in our consciousness that through our prayers, that's when we become fulfilled in prayer and meditation. So I know, I hope I said that right. I don't know. It's just my mind went everywhere with this, and I thank you for this. We really need to hear this. It's very important that we spend time alone with the Father in the morning before we begin our day. I always taught my young ladies, my girls, that when you wake up in the morning, I know you got to go use the bathroom or whatever, but whatever. After you do that, the next thing you need to do is fall on your knees and pray. And my girls know Ephesians chapter 6. They know the armor of God. They know the Lord's Prayer in Matthew. They know it by heart. And I said, before you walk out this door every morning that the Lord allows you to wake up, before you walk out this door and go to school, you're going to say the Lord's Prayer, and you're going to put the armor of God on, and you're going to thank the Father that he allowed you to wake up today, and you're going to go out there, and you're going to be a light. Because get ready for all hell to break loose when you walk outside of your sanctuary, outside of this home. Get ready. Prepare yourself. So this is important, and I thank you for this series. And tonight it just brought me to that consciousness state and the importance of our consciousness with the Father through prayer. Amen.
Praise be to God, sister. Anybody else? Comments, questions, suggestions?
You know, you brought up something about being the personal relationship. And we laugh at that, you know, and that's not funny. Ain't nothing funny about, you know, your personal relationship. I'm not going to be crying to you about the things that I talk to God about. That's personal. That's intimate. It don't get no more intimate than that. It don't get any more personal than that. You want to talk about the common salvation? Yeah, every man is, that's every man will, but you got a personal relationship with the Lord. And you have you definitely have an intimate relationship with the Lord. It's very personal. It's very private. It's things that only you and God know. Nobody else in the world, just you and him. So to sit up here and say that you know, that personal relationship is, you know, some foolishness or to that effect, maybe that's why we're missing a lot of what the Lord called real brotherly love. Because we don't have real love, brotherly love between you and Jesus. You know, I can't stress it enough, man. I don't want to be honest about it. I really don't want to be the one that bear the burdens of somebody real ills. But if I have to be, then I have to be. But then it'll be for me to take it to the Father throne and leave it there and not to repeat it again. But for that intimate, for those intimate things, you got some of us are struggling with some things within our flesh nobody know about but you and God. That's intimate, Jack. That's personal. And it don't get no more personal than that. So, yes, you're right about a common salvation. But there's a very personal, you better have a personal relationship with your Father. You better have a personal relationship with the Christ. And I thank you for reminding us of that as well. I yield the mic again. go ahead, bro. Great lesson.
Praise God, brother. Anyone else? That's what this is all about at the Sounds of Living Water, sisters and brothers. It's about being edified, having our eyes and ears open, getting increase from our Creator through the lessons that he has us put together. And this man, I just can't get enough of this. Anybody else? Okay, if not, I'm going to encourage everyone to be back here again next Sunday. But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, we will be back here at the Sounds of Living Waters again on Tuesday night at 7 p.m., with Brother Bob Farr in the Philadelphia Assemblies. And until then, hopefully it'll be the last time you hear my voice before I tell you to read the book. I yield the mic.
Amen.
Amen. And I just wanted to remind everyone that in holiday, thank you, Brother Paul, great lesson. Great job, Brother Jeremy. And he did all that extra reading. He did a perfect job. He's getting better and better.
Praise
God. Amen. We just want to remind everyone that the Sounds of Living Water offers now online giving through PayPal.com. Amen. So those who were inquiring how they can give and help and maintain the Sounds of Living Water radio ministry, all you got to do is just go on via internet and log into PayPal.com, and if you don't already have an account, just create an account and the funds is free. Your offering, we always say free. You know, we don't want to ask for prizes and donations and all that stuff. Whatever your heart desire is to help maintain this radio show to keep going. The Lord has really blessed us to have six brothers on six nights a week, even on the Sabbath day and Sunday morning. So the Lord is really, really blessing the ministry. So to help show your appreciation and to keep these brothers going on this line, it would be greatly appreciated, and we appreciate all your support. We really do. Also, if you have any feedback, like for tonight's lesson or any questions, you can also email the Sounds of Living Water at soundsoflivingwater@gmail.com. Once again, that's soundsoflivingwater@gmail.com. And also, like I always say, if you have any questions, even any prayer requests, we'll be more than happy to call you back or email you back with any of your questions, comments, and concerns. Amen.
Amen.
And I yield the mic. King Priest, are you on mute?
We want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Water,
read the book.
Read your Bible.
Read your Bible. Amen.
I'm appointed. Shalom.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Genesis to Revelation, preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth? It will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show.